In these particular days, we are looking at the subject of outreach and taking the gospel to people. And a few weeks ago, the staff kind of began to talk about this and ended up saying, Pastor, could you, in essence, would you preach on a series of things regarding outreach? And I said, well, what do you want? And so they assigned me some topics, obviously letting me change it if I wanted to. But the kind of topics they gave me, I do not know of an exposition of Scripture that exactly speaks on those topics, though I do know verses of Scripture that speak on those topics. And I prefer expositional preaching, but there is a place for textual preaching. And so one of the topics they've asked me to talk about was using gospel tracts, because we want to use every means we can to take the gospel to the people in our circle of acquaintances and the people that the Lord lets come into our pathway. I felt a little guilty that, on the one hand, that not that I ever feel that my preaching is exceptional, but I do give it my best, but I felt a little guilty that this is probably weak, but you folks know how to be dishonest if it is weak, because you have been so complimentary about the practicality of the subjects that I've been sharing with you, and I thank you for your kindness to me. And I do realize and have for a long, long time that a pastor occasionally needs to take his Sunday nights or a Sunday morning and talk to people about how to take the various aspects of Christian living and just apply, how does that work pragmatically in our lives to do whatever the subject matter is. So this morning, on the use of good gospel tracts, I want to ask you to go with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. Now I want you to turn with me to the 9th chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to look at one verse of Scripture. And you say, well, Pastor, does the Bible talk about gospel tracts? Indirectly it does. And that's what I want to look at as I read that verse. And I'm going to take this with me up to the platform. My nose is running for president, so I need some Kleenex with me. So anyway, appreciate everybody helping me out with water and what have you. I don't have to tell you that there is a thing called in the Bible the Great Commission, where we've been going to take, told to take the gospel to everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. There's no such thing as a child of God being saved and he's supposed to keep the gospel to himself or herself. That's not ever implied in Scripture, much less stated. We are to be those who dispense the gospel. And we, in looking at this subject, recognize that no one did that any finer than a guy named Paul, who was once Saul of Tarsus, who was a persecutor of Christians. And when the Lord converted him on the Damascus Road, his life dramatically turned completely right side up, because he was upside down to start with. And the Lord changed him, and he became a messenger primarily to Gentiles. And we Gentiles sure are grateful he was a messenger to Gentiles. Well, you and I, very much indirectly, but if we trace that back, we know that out of his journeys is how the gospel finally got to this continent. And we're thankful for the missionaries that he touched in his part of the world that finally came to this part of the world, and we got the gospel. He made the statement in that 22nd verse, as he was talking about taking out the gospel. Verse 22, to the weak became I as weak. Why? I'm adding the word why. He said that I might gain the weak. And he said, I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And in case we had any doubt in verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake. that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now, am I stretching something, church family, to say that if Paul became all things to all men, that he might by all means, and when he says all means, in whatever way he can. He traveled. He was a pastor. He was an evangelist. He was a missionary. He was a church planter. And he did it all. And he said, I want to use every means possible to get out the gospel. Now, is it a fair assessment that if he used every means possible, you and I ought to consider the means we have to take out the gospel out to others? And one of those means would be a gospel tract. It is one of the easiest things to do, to share a gospel tract. Gospel tracts are great tools to use in personal witnessing. And many people have been saved directly as well as indirectly by the use of gospel tracts. So I want to give you several things as I consider my own, are you listening to me? Not only my own use of gospel tracts through the years, but my own failure to use gospel tracts. I feel like I've been a weak person and not as faithful, always keep them on my person and share them as I should. So with that stated, number one, you want to use some tracts that have a nice appearance. Don't leave something with anybody that you set your coffee cup on that's got a coffee ring on it. You want it to look nice. Don't use anything that's not attractive. People do judge books by the cover. If a tract is ugly, the likelihood of them wanting to have interest in it, it looks like death warmed over and they don't want it. So be sure your tract has a nice appearance. Preferably, don't let it be dog-eared. Y'all know what I mean by dog-eared? Turned up on the corners. Number two is use tracts that have good content. Now, what I mean by that, you want a tract that is easy to read. You want a tract that's not excessively wordy. This society is in information overload. And I'll confess to you, other than a book I'm interested in, if somebody hands me a several-page document, I got to really be interested to read it. I'm not going to give that much time to something unless I know that's something I have an interest in. So don't let it be too wordy. Not many people are going to read a real lengthy tract. It's got to be simple. It's got to be to the point. You want the doctrinal content to certainly be biblical. I would say to you, look for the word in any gospel tract, repentance. And if the word repentance is not used, it ought to be used. Find another one. Reason being, you're trying to convey the gospel. That's what a tract is about. It should have contact information on it. It should have directions to your church on it. In an ideal sense, you don't want to leave a tract and somebody not know who left it, who's this associated with. You want to have that information on it. Thirdly, keep tracts available. Keep some in your car, keep some in your purse, keep some in your pocket, put some in your Bible cover, not in your Bible. People that know me well know that I really get on to folks when I see you with your Bible and you got seven copies of Time Magazine, yesterday's newspaper, and several other things crammed in it. You break the back of your Bible. Don't put things in your Bible. It finally breaks it. People are notorious for sticking their Sunday school quarterly and closing their Bible on it. You're destroying your Bible. And I don't know about you, when I buy a Bible, I buy a nice one because I plan on having it. It is not uncommon to pay $100 for a Bible, and I'm not going to stick a 50-cent quarterly in it to destroy it. So get you a Bible cover. You say, I don't like those. I'm sorry. It will preserve your Bible, and it won't be expensive. It'll be a lot less expensive than your Bible. So keep some tracts in your Bible cover. Keep some in anything else that you take with you so you'll have some. Here's the deal. There's a law known in the retail market of retail sales is that you can't sell what you don't have. And you can't give away what you don't have. And if you don't keep tracks with you, you're not serious about it. I mean, that's, and I'm talking to me, you understand? I have probably failed at this as much as anybody. Fourthly, keep a variety of tracks. Now, why is that? Well, select a track for the right people. You wouldn't want to give a child what you'd give an adult or give an adult a child's track. You can get tracks that are very good tracks, and they'll have a soccer ball on the picture on the outside of it. Soccer's a big deal. When I came along, you'd been laughed at for soccer. There wasn't but three sports, and those that wanted to play tennis, but you really had to have some money to do that. So it had to be football and baseball and basketball, and you're going away from home if you get past that. But as you well know, that's not where we are now. So if you run among the soccer moms, get you some with soccer balls on it. If you run with those with football, get some with a football on it. What are you trying to do? You're trying to identify with this person. If you know something about them, you might know that they're a fan of Florida, Alabama, Georgia, Tech, or whatever. Give them something with a football on it. One of the best gospel tracts I ever read, Dr. Paige Patterson, who, by the way, has just preached again and is well, and I know many of you have asked that, and I rejoice in that. He wrote a tract, and it was really on the life of David, and it's got a picture of him hunting on the front, and he talks about being able to conquer your prey. And in the tract, he implies or makes the correlation that David could conquer many an animal, but he couldn't conquer his lust. That's a fabulous tract of a hunter. So keep a variety of tracts. You can get seasonal tracts. It's coming up Thanksgiving. They got Thanksgiving tracts. They got Christmas tracts. They got 4th of July tracts. Keep a variety of tracts. And yes, nobody's asked, but your church probably ought to have some that you could either pick up and use, or if you wanted to buy quite a few of them to be used, make them available at the cost of whatever we can get them at. Now, let's see if you understand this next one. Give tracts, don't offer tracts. Suppose I've got a tract. I don't know that much about John Johnson. I don't know that he's a Christian or not, but I sense from being around him that he might not be. I do not want to say to a person like that, would you like a tract? Now, what you did there, you gave him an opportunity to say, no, thank you. You want to say, here, I want to give this to you. This is a tract from my church. If you ask, you could be in trouble. So give tracts, don't offer tracts. Simply give it to them. Don't give them the option. Next one. Tracts can be given out to individuals, or tracts can be given more in mass, meaning you may go to a festival. You may go walk around over at the expo. You may see a horde of people, and you want to take a bunch of tracts with you. What are you trying to do with a tract? Keep up with it so you can say you passed out X number of tracts? No. You're trying to give a tract to somebody who might be exposed to the gospel, and the first conviction that they've had in many years started after reading that tract. Or they've already been under conviction, and your tract was an instrument that God used in their heart and their life. So you want to give them out at individuals and public parades and anything you have opportunity to do. I would just say several things along that line. First of all, plan ahead for the event. Be thinking about, I'm going to that, and I could take a bunch of tracts with me. Secondly, ask the Lord to bless His Word. Lord, I want to do this for You. I'd like for You to let these find their way into some hands that could touch hearts. Pray about that. Don't do anything to get in the way of the event, or they may come tell you you shouldn't even be passing them out to start with. So be sure that you do what is appropriate, obviously always legal. pass out the tracts at a time when people don't have their attention on something else, so you can get enough of their attention to let that tract be used as valuable as it possibly can in his or her life. I've mentioned, you know, be lawful about it. If the authorities and police tell you to stop, it'd be wise for you to stop. We don't want to turn into Chicago, and we want to do what the law says. I'm amazed at people that complain at law enforcement, and when you read in the story many times, law enforcement had been trying to stop them. My daddy told me that if the police ever called your name, you immediately stop and find out what they want. And that helps you not get in further trouble. Be wise. One of the best ways to pass out tracts at a parade or other public event, if you're at the parade, you say, here, enjoy the parade, and keep moving. That way you haven't interrupted anybody. Enjoy the festival. Good to see you. Have a great day. And move on. Last but not least on that, keep a smile on your face.
Here's a track.
Don't do that. Keep a smile on your face. Let the gospel that you say mean something to you be pleasantly seen through your expression. You know, what they told us as children, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Y'all remember that? Well, folks, if you're happy and you know it, tell your face. That's where it really counts. They're looking into the window of your soul as they look into your eyes and the expression on your face. Now, that's kind of part A, and I want to give you part B, and I'll be through. Why, Pastor, should we use gospel tracts? Number one, because God uses them. You say, what are you talking about? There's all manner of record of people whose lives were transformed by a tract. And if their life was transformed, that means God's blessing that. So if he kind of likes it, I think it'd be good if we liked it. Amen? George Whitfield, after reading a gospel tract, said, quote, God showed me that I must be born again or be damned, end quote. Now, folks, I believe the Holy Spirit brought that to George Whitfield's heart, reading a gospel tract. So God uses it. I ought to be willing to use it. Second thing. Tracts provide an opportunity for us to share our faith, even we who don't talk too much are afraid we're going to say something wrong. You got it printed. So gives you an opportunity to share your faith. Thirdly, tracts can witness for you if you are timid. Been many a time that I stuttered and was hesitant. Did you know a tract never stutters? It's never hesitant. Never is. Tracts will speak to the person when they are ready. Wonder how many things that we've left and you folks left the other day on houses, and they took that in and laid on a table, and it may lay there a day, a week, a month, or several months, and one afternoon one comes in and picks up part of it and begins to read. First Baptist Church of Charlotte, North Carolina, many years ago, was a man named Carl Bates. Carl Bates in heaven now. If I remember correctly, Carl Bates at one point became president of the Southern Baptist Convention. Carl Bates traveled, and life was not good. He was not a Christian. And one night in a hotel room, he decided, I'm going to jump out of my hotel window and take my life. Carl Bates told the story that as he raised the window and went to get out on the ledge, reached back and his hand hit something. And as he looked at it, it was a Gideon Bible. Carl Bates thought, Gideon Bible. And in that moment, God the Holy Spirit did something in his heart and he thought, well, let me turn to that. I've done everything else. He goes back in the window, takes the Gideon Bible, reads the scripture. God saves him and transforms him and ended up calling him to preach. That's a marvelous testimony. That can happen with the Bible or any portion of the Bible. And a tract, if it's biblical, will be to some small measure a portion of the Bible. Now, tracts can go into a home when we can't. That's good. You're afraid sometimes, one of the fears we have when we go witnessing is, are they going to ask me something about the Bible I can't answer? You've heard your pastor say, we didn't go to teach the Bible, went to talk about the gospel. But here's the thing about tracts. Tracts never get in an argument. But you know what they do? They state their case. That guy can read that and not even like it and lay it down. And if he ever goes back and picks it up, you know what that tract's going to tell him? The identical same words it told him before. Tracts are indeed consistent in their message, and they never get in an argument. Let me tell you a quote that I think you'll like, and then I'll tell you who said this. Quote, when preaching and private talk are not available, you need to have a tract ready. Get good striking tracts or none at all. But a touching gospel tract may be the seed of eternal life. Therefore, do not go out without your tracts. Who said that? Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Tracts have been good for every generation of time, and they're good for right now. I would say to you as I close this unusual message that I hope can encourage us in taking the gospel to places that it's kind of difficult to take today. More communities are closed, more subdivisions are closed, more housing developments. People need the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That one thing has not changed in this generation. It may be arguable that the gospel is needed more in this generation than any. One of the best ways for people to hear the gospel is through a gospel tract. Pass them out every opportunity you get. I would say be wise in your selection. Did you get that? Be polite in your delivery. And pray that God will bless His word. Here's what Isaiah said, the prophet, and that'll be on your screen. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now let me tell you something, folks, and I want this to encourage your heart. When any of us give witnessing testimonies, we try our best to tell about the things that we know that God has done for the purpose of being an encouragement. But for everyone we know, there are several hundred, we don't know how that turned out. We didn't get a report. But let me tell you something. One of these days, you and I are going to go somewhere and report into duty. And we will move from out in the field up to head management. And we will meet, and I say this with respect, with the CEO. And at that meeting that's called in the scriptures the judgment seat of Christ, every time you shared one will be on record, and what it accomplished will be known in heaven. We're not there to brag about what we've done. We're there to be faithful. And remember this. The person who sows the gospel seed, we're not anything. The person who waters the gospel seed, we're still not anything. But it's always God who gives the increase. And God said, I want you as my children to take my word. You say, Pastor, do I really need to be a part of that? I'm not trying to be humorous. But if the Lord's book said, I want you to be in the business of killing mosquitoes, then we ought to be in the business of killing mosquitoes. His book says, I want you to be in the business of taking my gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea. Jerusalem's like Valdosta. Judea is like Georgia. Samaria is like the United States and the uttermost part of the earth. A simple way that a person who cannot speak can take it is through a gospel tract. The most unoffensive way is a gospel tract. It's something we all can do. And yes, we will make it a point to have more tracts available for you should you want to have some of these. And if you find some that you think are good, bring one by the church office or hand one to the pastor or Brother John or one of the staff. And we will look at possibly ordering those, but be sure they are clear regarding man's lostness and God's requirement of repentance. Folks, if you give the gospel, you really can't give it wrong. And the gospel is still this morning the only power of God unto salvation. You know, it's kind of interesting. You can't tell any story that brings a person to grips with who they are and what their basic of all needs really is and what is the cure for what bothers them except the story of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is God's power at work. And you and I know God is at work, but we don't always see where. So like casting a big net, we take the gospel, we use the tracts, and that way we become a more faithful witnessing church as we seek to give God's word to the people into our pathway. You know, it would just be like the Lord to say, you know, I'd like to use Wayne to do that. But, you know, Wayne never has any tracts in his pocket, so why would I want to concern myself with sending somebody into his pathway? He doesn't have anything to give him anyway. It would be like the Lord, if we will get serious with that, it'd be like the Lord to say, you know, they're wanting an opportunity. I'm going to line up a divine appointment right there. Wouldn't you like some divine appointments in your life? Wouldn't you like to lead some people to Jesus? Wouldn't you like one day to stand at the judgment seat and say, I never had any idea that that was going to transform that guy's life like that. I sure am glad now that I gave him a gospel tract. And we do that to obey our Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father, this morning is a good time for us to look back at what our life was like when we were lost. And to begin to look at the circumstances that began to be at play that brought us to the place that we saw our lostness and came to have a burden, a need, a desire to have our sins forgiven. So, Lord, today let us review what we were, how you saved us, what did we hear, what did we see, what was that experience like, and what has our life been like since you transformed us. Lord, every day we live, we're getting a day closer to seeing you. And on that day, these matters, so simple and basic, are the matters that's going to count for all eternity. It won't be last week's ball game. It won't be next Sunday's this or next Saturday evening's this. It's about what we've done with you, to you, and for you. I want to thank you for a congregation of people who, if able-bodied, will go door to door to take gospel tracts and other information. I know, Lord, as we are going, we have many opportunities. I pray this morning that you will bless this congregation, do something special in our hearts, and may this pastor and this people be more faithful in the use of tracts. And may many be brought into the kingdom by the work of your Spirit. May that be done for the glory of the Christ we love who saved us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? This is our hymn of invitation. Would you respond as Brother David?